What's going on, Eagles fans? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. It's Lou DiBiase joining you once again here on this June 24th edition of the LOE Pod. Happy to be back after a one-day hiatus. We got some interesting stuff we're talking about on today's podcast. The Eagles are up for ESPY Awards this year. It's the end of the year. Sports Awards ESPN gives out every year, so they're up for some awards. We're going to get into if the Eagles have a chance at winning those, and then we're also going to be ranking Foles' playoff run. This is something myself and some listeners over Twitter throughout the day have been discussing. Where does Nick Foles' playoff performance rank all time when we're talking about other quarterbacks and their stellar elite performances in the NFL playoffs? So that's what's on dock for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. If you missed any of our other podcasts, you can find them on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, anywhere basically you listen to your podcast, you can find us there. And as always, on LockedOnEagles.com, we post all of our episodes on the website as well as written pieces. I wrote a piece the other day about Ronald Darby and his situation, you know, his involvement with the Jameis Winston situation, who is probably going to be suspended for 3 games for allegedly groping an Uber driver. Ronald Darby is involved. He didn't do anything himself, but he was with Winston that night and did deny that Winston did any wrongdoing, and now it seems like Darby might have been lying about where he exactly was in the situation. It's not a great look for Darby, and we'll get into that in another podcast. And I wrote my thoughts and went into a detailed discussion about it on LockedOnEagles.com. Just kind of got all the facts together, found some other sides to the story, you know, found some quotes from Tampa Bay beat writers. So I organized it pretty well for you to get all, pretty much to, if you want to know what the scoop is, what the whole situation is around Ronald Darby and Jameis Winston, you can find that as well on LockedOnEagles.com. But, you know, don't expect anything to happen with Darby and the Eagles outside of just defending his guy, maybe not rightfully so. Ronald Darby is clear of, I mean, as we know of any, as of right now, Ronald Darby hasn't done anything wrong outside of just when we're talking about ethics and morals. That in that case, I guess we can consider that he did something wrong, but as far as legal matters, Ronald Darby is not going to get suspended. He's not in any legal trouble, but he was involved in a controversial way with what he said and with the story that he gave. As we get more of the facts, it doesn't seem like what Ronald Darby's saying was truthful. But again, if you want to check that out, you can go on LockedOnEagles.com. Sorry, the minute I get into an Eagles topic, even if I'm just hinting at it, it's very hard to not just get right into it and just roll with it for 40 minutes. So, but that'll be for another day, and again, that's up on our website. So, but yeah, if you missed any of our other podcasts, we had last episode we did the Eagles That Never Were, which I thought was a really fun concept, and I thought it was a fun podcast that a lot of you enjoyed, and I thank you for the feedback. Some of you like my Dalvin Cook take about he is the one player looking back that he's the guy that got away. He was the one. And when it comes to the Eagles, you know, Dalvin Cook was a guy that I was in love with as a draft prospect in the 2017 NFL draft, and he was close to being an Eagle, but he never came to be. And other guys like Marcus Mariota, we all remember the chaos in the 2015 offseason. He was a player that a lot of us expected Chip Kelly to move up for. So I went through a list and listed some players that we all thought were probably going to be Eagles, and we were there. The hype was there. We were excited for it, and it just never came to fruition. So that's available on all the podcast apps and on LockedOnEagles.com, of course. And if you want to contribute to the show, you want to ask a question for me, you want me to talk about a certain topic. I got a comment today that someone wants me to do a salary cap podcast about how the Eagles are set up for the future. So we're going to get into that this week. So if you want anything talked about on the show, again, we do this 4 to 5 times a week. Just hit me a line on Twitter, at DiBiase, L-O-E, is where you can reach me on Twitter, or by email at LockedOnEaglesPodcast@gmail.com. All right, let's get into the Eagles in the ESPY Awards. The Eagles are up for Best Play of the Year, Best Championship Performance, and Best Team. So they're up for the team itself is up for these three nominations. Nick Foles, no, he did not get in the ballot for Best Athlete, although maybe he should have. Honestly, not probably not, but Nick Foles was not put into that. We didn't have any individual awards when it came to players, but I feel like that's almost a good thing. It sheds a light on what this Eagles team was all about. And it's not saying that it wasn't a talented team, because there's elite elite talent all over this roster, but it was a team that won a championship as a team, right? Because Carson Wentz goes down, Jason Peters, you don't even need me to list all the guys that went down, you know, and the Eagles overcame it all and won a Super Bowl off of it as the underdogs that they were in the playoffs. So them not being up for any individual awards, I think is kind of a... And Carson Wentz probably would have been if he didn't get hurt. He would have been up for best NFL player. I saw Tom Brady was on there, Aaron Donald and a few others. Todd Gurley might have been in there. Antonio Brown, I know, was on the ballot. But so Carson Wentz probably would have been in there. He is the star, the elite player, if you had to just mention one guy when you think of, or what the national media or non-Eagles fans think of when they think of the Eagles. But I think it's cool that it's, you know, all the awards for the Eagles and the ESPYs this year are about the team. So me personally, I think they should easily win best play and championship performance, because look, best team is tough. I don't think they're going to win best team through, you know, if we're defining what a team is, I think they reflect that based on how they won far more than a franchise like Golden State, who won off of four all-stars, elite talents in the NBA. But the Warriors will probably win it because they're the pretty much the 21st century version of the Chicago Bulls led by Michael Jordan. So I'm not going to really sit here and unbiasedly say the Eagles should win best team over the Warriors, because the Warriors are a dynasty. They've won three championships in four seasons. They swept LeBron James in the NBA Finals. They beat the Houston Rockets in the playoffs. So, I mean, those are the only other two elite teams in the NBA. So it's hard to argue against the Golden State Warriors. So I don't expect the Eagles to win that award, but best play, it's got to be easily. I mean, when you think about it, how many great memorable plays really were there this year when it comes to sports? And in the finals, too. I understand you got the LeBron James buzzers, you know, against the Raptors and against the Pacers in the first two rounds for the Cavaliers. But when you think about it, in the championships, the Eagles-Patriots game was close. It was a shootout. It was probably the best championship game of the year. But the Alabama-Georgia game, there wasn't a lot that stood out in that one. Capitals-Vegas was not really that memorable. It was a pretty easy series for the Capitals. And then, I mean, should play of the year be when J.R. Smith doesn't shoot or pass and thinks that the Cavs are leading in game one? I mean, if that's the case, I can't argue against that. But there wasn't a lot of iconic moments in the finals for sports in the 2017 season. And I feel like even though there's going to be other really good plays that were in the playoffs for the other big four league, the other three big leagues for sports, the Eagles play, and of course, I think you all know which play we're talking about, the Philly Special, was in the Super Bowl, which is the biggest event in sports, fourth and goal, in the second quarter, the game's close, and the way that they drew up the play, it was right after Tom Brady dropped a pass to have a huge gain for the Patriots. The Eagles use an undrafted rookie running back. They pitch it to an undrafted tight end who used to be a quarterback in college. He throws to the backup quarterback who rolls into the end zone and catches it for a touchdown. The biggest moment with some of the... Like, that's the thing. It's just who the three players were that ended up scoring that touchdown for the Eagles. Was Nick Foles, a backup quarterback, Corey Clement, an undrafted rookie running back, and Trey Burton, a backup reserve tight end throughout his career with the Eagles that mostly contributed on special teams, that was undrafted, and he used to play quarterback in college. It's the coolest play, maybe not just in 2017. It's one of the best sports plays of all time when you think about it, and how it developed is so cool. They were working on it for weeks, and Nick Foles goes up to Doug Peterson, and what a moment to suggest such a bold play call. And the fact that Doug Peterson went with it should also be a part of this. So I think best play easily should be something that the Eagles win. And I think the same logic goes for championship performance, especially considering who the Eagles beat. They beat a Patriots team that is a dynasty. And I mean, it's a two-man dynasty when we think about it, because Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have been there for all five championships, but then the team just completely rotates. So it's the Bill Belichick-Tom Brady dynasty. But nonetheless, again, best championship performance. The Eagles, it wasn't like they won some scrappy defensive game, kind of like they did against Atlanta in the divisional round, where the defense carried them. They really weren't getting anything going against this Patriots team. it was a shootout. It was one of the, just taking away my fandom of the Eagles, it was one of the best football games I've ever watched. Back and forth, back and forth. Tom Brady scores, Nick Foles scores. Tom Brady drives easily down the field. Nick Foles, without a doubt, hits Alshon Jeffrey for a touchdown. Corey Clement, you know, it was incredible. And again, the way the Eagles did it, losing so many elite players, getting to the Super Bowl and beating the Patriots on that stage, especially too, because let's look at the fourth quarter, right? As late as, I mean, how many people of you honestly weren't expecting, how many of you were honestly surprised that the Patriots came back and took that 33-32 lead in the fourth quarter? Because I was waiting for that to happen the entire game. And when they did it, eventually you look back at all the other Super Bowls, or just games in general, and, you know, big moments against the Patriots. Just look at the AFC Championship game against the Jaguars. How many people honestly thought the Jaguars were going to hold that lead throughout the entire game? So, you know, but the fact that the Eagles ended up, not only did they lose the lead they held the entire game, but they got it right back when Nick Foles threw a touchdown to Zach Ertz. And even still at that point, I'm thinking to myself, Tom Brady has too much time. And the Eagles stop him. Brandon Graham gets a strip sack. How many times is that the way it happens in sports against the Patriots? It just, that is never the outcome against the Patriots, and the Eagles did it that way. So it's who they beat, it's how they did it, it's the level of performance from the offense, I think, is more impressive. Because, I mean, it would have been impressive if they shut down Tom Brady, but the fact that a backup quarterback in Nick Foles, who's gone through, he's such a cool story, you know, with almost quitting football 2 years ago, getting traded from this Eagles team back in 2015, to then going toe-to-toe with who I think is the greatest quarterback of all time, is iconic. I think the Eagles are going to win. They should win those two awards. I don't know, I don't probably expect them to win Team of the Year, although I could see it, because the NFL is king. They beat the Patriots. They are stacked at all the positions, but I think Golden State's going to take that one. So, for the ESPYs, I think the Eagles win Play of the Year, and I think they win Championship Performance. I mean, well, I'm not giving it to Ovi and the Capitals for winning a five-game series, basically, only losing Game 1 to Vegas. And Golden State, you swept Cleveland. I mean, it's impressive, but that's the best championship performance? I don't think so. All right, so let's get to our next segment here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, which is, where does Nick Foles' 2017 playoffs rank? It fits with the theme of today's podcast and pretty much the theme of the offseason, which is celebrating that damn 2017 Super Bowl championship for the Eagles. But first, if your company would like to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast. Locked On Eagles is listened to by 98% men. That's right, 98% men, and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want to reach men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are extremely reasonable. Make sure you email me at lockedoneaglespodcast@gmail.com or at louisdibiase@yahoo.com to find out more. All right, so let's get into it for this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Again, June 24th edition. My name is Louis DiBiase, your humble host. Where does Nick Foles' 2017 playoffs rank all time? Nick Foles, in three games, had a 72.6% completion percentage, 971 passing yards, 6 touchdowns, and only 1 interception. Against, by the way, he took down the team that should have won the Super Bowl in 2016 against the Atlanta Falcons, a Vikings defense that I'm in love with. Basically, every single player they've taken, and they've all taken them high. Harrison Smith was a first-round pick. Eric Kendricks was a second-round pick. Anthony Barr was a top-10 pick. Xavier Rhodes was a first-round pick. Basically, the entire Vikings defense is filled with elite high-pick talent. And Nick Foles shredded them to pieces. The flea flickers touchdown to Torrey Smith, the touchdown to Alshon Jeffrey, evading the rush. He was on fire. And then the Patriots, and then he torches New England, the best mind in football in Bill Belichick. He put up 373 yards on and 3 touchdowns with no interceptions. By the way, he had 3 receiving touchdowns. He also had a receiving touchdown. We just talked about it, the Philly special. And his game log, by the way, is off the charts. And I had a bunch of listeners actually hit me up on Twitter today and suggest other elite playoff performances by quarterbacks, and a lot of them I had in mind and I agreed with. There were some cool ones. I got a couple different ones that I hadn't thought of. We got six cool elite runs that we're going to rank compared to Nick Foles. But for Nick Foles, this is a player, I don't know if it's more impressive or less compared to the other guys, because he only played, remember, a few regular season games after Nick Foles went, or after Carson Wentz went down. He played a few drives against the Rams, then he started against the Giants. He played against the Raiders, only a quarter against the Cowboys. So he really didn't have that much, you know, action to get ready for the playoffs in the regular season. And let's remember, too, back in the preseason, Nick Foles didn't play because he was dealing with an injury. So Nick Foles barely had any playing time throughout the season to get ready for a playoff run for a team that, outside of the quarterback, was ready to make a run for the Super Bowl. And the fact that he turns into the performances that he did against three elite NFL teams, that, to me, is one of the greatest moments in performances in football history on the biggest stage in the playoffs. His game log, even the Falcons game, which he wasn't stellar in, he was more of a point guard, just distributing, the defense was playing really well, and he kind of just stayed out of the way. We say that, but then you look at his game log, and he completed 23 of 30 passes, he had a 76% completion percentage, he did have 246 yards, it's not like he threw 140, so he had 246, he didn't throw any touchdowns, but he also didn't throw any picks, a 100.1 QBR. So that's the game we say that he struggled in, really, or just didn't play at an elite level like he did the other two games. And then we look at the Falcons game, or the Vikings game, 78% completion percentage. He went 26 of 33, 352 yards and 3 touchdowns, no picks. Then he turns it around. He had 65% completion, 28 of 43 in the Super Bowl, 373 yards, 3 touchdowns, and the 1 interception. Which, I don't even remember what that pick was. When did he get intercepted? Someone dropped me a line on Twitter to remind me. I don't remember Nick Foles getting picked off. I do remember now. It was the deep Alshon Jeffrey play, right? Where Nick Foles bombs it down to Alshon, he bobbles it up in the air, and Alshon throws it back up, and it was caught by the Patriots defender. So, I mean, that's not even really Nick Foles' fault. So, basically, he... To me, Alshon Jeffrey should get that interception more than Nick Foles. Maybe that should be a thing in stats when it comes to football. Maybe a wide receiver, if it's his fault, should get not the credit for the interception, but should get the blame. I think they should have the stat go against them, like interceptions caused, maybe instead of it just all being on the quarterback. Because that's a pick for Nick Foles that it's not even really a bad play. So, but... What an elite performance by Foles. It's definitely up there, especially when you consider some of the plays he made, too, right? The flea flicker bomb where he put it perfectly, dropped it in between two defenders. Torrey Smith caught that on the exact orange pylon in the end zone where you had no margin for error at all. Nick Foles put it perfectly. And the Alshon Jeffrey play against the Vikings, too, where the play breaks down. Nick Foles looks like he's about to get hit, but he squeezes up into the pocket, delivers a bomb. And then in the Super Bowl, how many plays can we bring up? The probably the most impressive one, the Alshon Jeffrey one, was just straight street ball. Throw it up perfectly to Alshon Jeffrey. It was a beautiful play. I wasn't more hyped in that game outside of when they won the Super Bowl. Or the Brandon Graham play, but the first touchdown against the Patriots with Alshon got the juices flowing big time with Nick Foles. And then, you know, the Corey Clement play where he drops in between three defenders to a rookie running back. And how about the fourth down play and on their own side of the field in the fourth quarter, where basically if you don't make that play, the Patriots get the ball in your territory and they're going to score probably, because although the Eagles did have really good red zone defense throughout that game, it was bend, don't break. Tom Brady at that point was cooking. And if Nick Foles doesn't, you know, make that little step up and kind of use his mobility, which he's not known for, and get the ball to Zach Ertz to convert that fourth down, the Eagles probably don't win the Super Bowl. So there are so many huge plays you can think of, I just rattled off the top of my head, that we'll remember for Nick Foles. So I mean, it's just, he's going to be up there all time, especially who he was. He was a backup quarterback, his story, who he beat, some of the jaw-dropping plays. He's going to forever be one of the he's going to be down there in when we're talking about best playoff performances, not just in football, but probably in sports. A few other ones I got mentioned, the 1989 playoffs for Joe Montana. He won the Super Bowl, 800 yards, 78% completion percentage. He had 11 touchdowns and no picks. He averaged 266 yards per game. That's a pretty impressive one, considering that even back then, some of the numbers he put up, I was looking at his game log for that year, those are numbers that you put up now. Those weren't stats that back then were very realistic, unless your name was Joe Montana or Dan Marino. So I got that one from a fan on Twitter. Thank you guys for contributing to this discussion. I thought it was really fun interacting with you guys on Twitter today. 2010 Aaron Rodgers. I think Eagles fans remember this one, considering he took the Eagles down in the wild card round. That's a game that still hurts me to this day, because outside of the Super Bowl win this year, that was probably my favorite season as an Eagles fan growing up. And, you know, I know that probably ages me and shows my youth, but that was a game that still stings for me. Rodgers had 1,000 yards, 1,094 passing yards to be exact, in that playoffs, 9 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And remember, that was the first year where Rodgers really stated himself as an elite quarterback that you just didn't think could be stopped. And then in 2011, Eli Manning. I know, this is tough. I'm sorry, Eagles fans, that we have to put a giant in here, but we have to. 1,200 passing yards, 9 touchdowns and 1 interception. And he beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl twice. This was his second Super Bowl win against the Patriots. And people they like to combine. See, look, I'm a big Eli critic now, because I think he's just a garbage quarterback at this point. He's not a starter anymore, in my opinion. I think the Giants should have drafted a quarterback second overall. It's a topic for a different day, but I think he's shot now, and Odell Beckham has really carried his career, and I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. Well, I mean, I think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I probably wouldn't put him in there. It would be close, considering his playoff performances, which I do value. But I think Eli Manning really, I think he's been an overrated quarterback because of his name, because of the team he plays for, because he won those two Super Bowls. I think people like to ignore the other years where basically he was missing the Giants consistently were playoffs, no playoffs, playoffs, no playoffs. Then we go 3 years without making the playoffs, and then they got back in. He never had the consistency that I think people kind of assume he's always had. But I will say, I'll come to his defense here, people do combine his two Super Bowl seasons when we're basing it on individual performance to go after him, which I don't think is fair if we're making a case against Eli. But, I agree with their exact motivation about Eli being overrated, but remember that season, 1,200 passing yards, 9 touchdowns and a pick. He took down the Packers in Lambeau. Remember that gritty performance against the Niners in San Fran, where Eli got just beaten and battered, but they took it in overtime. And then in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, he lit them up. So the 2011 Eli Manning is one that, you know, we look back in the 2007 year, and we're like, yeah, Eli had Michael Strahan and OCU Mignora, Matthias Kiwanuka, the whole NASCAR lineup on the defensive line. But in 2011, Eli Manning was an elite quarterback in the playoffs. So that's one that definitely stood out that I brought up. And then the 2012 Joe Flacco was a big one, where he had 11 touchdowns and no picks. The Ravens ended up beating the Niners in the Super Bowl. That's a good one. I don't think I've ever seen someone play as hot as Joe Flacco did. He was on fire that playoffs. He couldn't be stopped. He rolled through the Colts. You remember that Mile High game, a double overtime against Denver. You know, goes into Foxborough in the AFC title. Then in San Fran against an amazing defense. Remember how good that 49ers defense was with Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman, the Smith bros up at the defensive line, Alden Smith and Justin Smith. And Joe Flacco just tore everyone to shreds. I know Joe Flacco now is not a great quarterback, but that playoffs, that performance from Flacco was incredible. I know Ray Lewis gets all the headlines that year because it was his last moment in the NFL. It was his last season. But Joe Flacco just cruising through. The 2012 Joe Flacco was some of the best quarterback I've ever seen played. Then, the last suggestion I got was someone that didn't win the Super Bowl, and it was the 2018 Tom Brady, and this is one I agree with. I'm probably not going to put him ahead of some of these other guys, because I think when you do end up winning the Super Bowl, I think that has value when we're talking about this list. I know it's about individual performance, but if that hot play resulted in a championship, I think that's That's a little bit more valuable. But Brady, nonetheless, almost had 1,200 passing yards. He had 8 touchdowns and no picks. And Brady, he did it against 2 elite defenses. You know, when we're thinking about some of the best defenses in the NFL, who do we name? We name Minnesota. We name, you know, probably Carolina. But then who do we get to, though? Who are the other, you know, the other top ones? It's Jacksonville and it's Philly. And Tom Brady shredded both of them. He had 500 passing yards against the Eagles. An Eagles defense that, as an Eagles fan, when was the last time we had a defense as good as the one in 2017? Honestly, that was an elite defense that Tom Brady put up 500 passing yards on. And against Jacksonville, do you remember how elite, how just he carved up that Jaguars defense in the second half, where Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye, Miles Jack, all that talent, they had no answer because Brady just, when he got rolling in that no-huddle offense, just cruising, drilling passes to Danny Amendola and Chris Hogan, he was unstoppable. So I'm going to make an exception, even though he didn't win the Super Bowl. He definitely deserves to be on this list, I think. But where we put Nick Foles in this list is interesting. When we're talking about the Super Bowl alone, I think the Super Bowl performance has to be the most important when we're talking about this playoff stint for each player. And Foles, out of all of them, outside of Brady, of course, but out of the quarterbacks that did win a Super Bowl in the list we're talking about, Foles had the highest total passing yards of any of these guys in their respective playoff run, with 373 yards in the playoffs. 3 touchdowns, technically 4 because he got a receiving touchdown. That's got to be bonus points. That's got to be the tiebreaker against some of these guys. But here's how I would rank the list when we're talking about these quarterbacks in the playoffs. Number 1, I think, would be Joe Flacco in 2012. I've never seen someone play out of his mind the way Joe Flacco did. It's just everything he did in that playoffs was, I mean, some of the passes. Remember the Jacoby Jones touchdown against Denver? Anquan Boldin just putting the ball perfectly on some of those back shoulder throws. They were trouncing the Niners before the lights went off at the Superdome. So I remember that like it was yesterday watching that playoffs, and I was very interested in the Ravens because of, you know, it was Ray Lewis's last ride. It was a fun storyline, and Flacco was hot going in, and he was an exciting player to watch. With my own 2 eyes, it's hard for me to, you know, put Joe Montana high on this based just off the stats. But I remember it like it was yesterday watching Joe Flacco in those playoffs, and I've never seen someone that on fire, just where every pass, it just seemed like was perfect. Number 2, I'd put Eli Manning in 2011. He went to 2 very hard places to play, which was Lambeau and Candlestick, 2 of the most iconic places to play football, and he put up a tirade on the Packers, an air raid, excuse me, on the Packers and the Niners, and then takes down the Patriots. That's a performance that not a lot of people, I think, kind of gets thrown, again, under the bus because of the personal vendettas people have against Eli Manning now, which, and I will say myself, I'm a huge Eli Manning critic, but I will recognize when someone steps up in the biggest moments, and that was Eli Manning in 2011. And then this is where I put Nick Foles, number 3. I put him ahead of Brady. Tom Brady, 2018's at 4. I put Joe Montana, 1989, at 5. And then I put the 2010 run of Aaron Rodgers at 6. I think it matters that Nick Foles was a backup. He did not play in the preseason at all. He barely played in the regular season. He took down against who the teams he beat. He beat a team that should have won the Super Bowl if they didn't collapse against the Patriots last year when we're talking about the Falcons. Then you look at the Minnesota Vikings, who were an elite defense. He carves them up for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. And no, remember, he didn't have any turnovers. He was spotless the entire playoffs. I know that he had the 1 pick against the Patriots, but again, it wasn't even his fault, really, when you think about it. He beats them, and then he beats the best team of the decade in the New England Patriots. And, you know, the yards are close. He didn't have as many touchdowns as the other guys. He only had 6 because he didn't throw any against the Falcons. But the completion percentages were out of their mind, you know, north of 75% in 2 of the games, and then he had exactly 65% against New England. You know, his suggestion of the Philly special, the confidence he had, it's just, And it's just the story, man. We're always going to remember that. I mean, the Nick Foles 2017 run is something we'll be talking about, and the documentaries will be playing forever, as long as the NFL exists, you know, and in Philly history forever. So I'm putting him three there. I think that's fair, right? I think that's reasonable. I didn't throw him at one. I'll be real. I think Joe Flacco played better than anyone I've ever seen when we're talking about the playoffs. And Eli Manning, number two as well. I mean, that was a gritty playoff run. And at four, I think Brady, I know he didn't win like Montana and Rodgers did, but, man, you put up 500,000 yards in a game in the Super Bowl. It's against an Eagles defense that was amazing. It's very hard to argue with that. So my list goes for best playoff performances when it comes to a quarterback. Of the six we mentioned today on Twitter, number one, Joe Flacco in 2012, Eli Manning at number two in 2011, Nick Foles at three in 2018, the Tom Brady 2018 playoff run falls in at four, Joe Montana 1989 at five, and then Aaron Rodgers rounds out the list from his 2010 playoff run. So that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Please comment, rate, and subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you find the pods. We do appreciate it. And just please always leave me feedback. I've been getting a lot of people telling me that they enjoy the show or some things I can do to fix it. And I thank you for that a lot. It's been such a blast. And I know I say that every show, but I'm just very grateful for it. We'll be back tomorrow, which is Monday, June 25th. We're going to be interviewing Dennis Dixon, former Eagles quarterback, now in the American Flag Football League with a bunch of former Eagles. We're going to talk about him, what he's doing, and just get into a number of awesome topics. So stay tuned for that. And Justin Grasso makes his debut on the Locked On Eagles podcast this week as well. So exciting stuff. That's going to do it for me on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you, and let's go Birds.